came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place. He went to sleep. He went to bed. His eyes waxed dim. He couldn't see. The lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord. Perhaps both in the natural and the spiritual. The lamp of God went out where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. Then the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here am I." He ran unto Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou callest me." Eli said, "I didn't call you, so go lay down again." Samuel went to lay down again, and verse 6, the Lord called yet again Samuel, and Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me, you called me." And Eli answered, "I called not, my son, lie down again." Now Samuel did not know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord revealed unto him. He's going to know it. He's getting prepared to know it. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. He arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And Eli finally perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, "Go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, you say, 'Speak, Lord, I'm listening. Thy servant heareth.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And for a moment, I speak of the whisper. I want you just to open up your hearts right now and do your very best to remove everything from your mind. Every thought, clean every thought. Take into captivity every thought of your mind. Every angst, every exhilaration, every success, every failure. What you have to do tomorrow or even today, or what has happened yesterday or any of all the past. Could you just say, "Lord, wash my mind to hear this now." In Jesus' name I pray. Would you just lift up a hand to the Lord, and would you just offer a praise unto your God? He is a great Savior. He deserves your praise today. I worship you. I praise you. I lift you up, Lord. I raise my hand in adoration to you, Lord. Surrender and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Greet someone before you're seated and say some kind thing to them, and then you may be seated. On the morning of August 27th in 1883, wow, ranchers in Alice Springs, Australia, heard what sounded like gunshots, but the same mysterious sound was reported in no less than 50 geographical locations. I won't name all of them. Those sounds they heard echoed the earth, spanned the earth 1/113th of its parameters. The Aussies did not hear gunshots that day, but rather what they heard was the explosion of a volcano in a remote Indonesian island some 2,000 miles away. The volcano was the loudest ever measured. It was recorded at 310 decibels. It was so loud that it circumnavigated the globe at least four times. The report is that it generated massive tidal waves. It threw rocks in the air some 34 miles and cracked massive concrete walls 100 miles away. The Science Journal stated that the pressure of that eruption was so great that even when the sound was not heard, it was felt In fact, Maggie Baeger wrote it like this, and I quote, "Just because you can't hear the sound doesn't mean it isn't there." At 110 decibels, that sound will change your blood pressure. 141 decibels can make you nauseous. At 145 decibels, your vision can become blurred. At 195 decibels, eardrums are in danger of bursting. And sadly, through some inhumane research, we do know that people begin to die somewhere around the 202 decibel mark. To hear is the function of vibrations through the eardrum caused by sound waves. On one end of the spectrum is the sperm whale, which is the loudest animal on earth. His clicking noise can register at 200 decibels. A jet engine is about 150 decibels, to put it into context. On the other end of the spectrum, the soft end, is the human whisper that measures at about 15 decibels. Of all the creatures of the earth, I could get a little more technical for you if you're interested. Our absolute hearing is at 0 decibels because that sound corresponds to the measurement of 0.00602 pascals. So all of you who are interested, just know that you can distinguish a very slight sound. And it's that extreme low frequency that causes the eardrum to vibrate at an astonishing 10 to the negative 800s. Of millimeters. And if we are absent of every other noise, we can hear a sound, a whisper at 0.000002 pascals. You would have to be in a place where everything is absent. Nothing else, no noise, no other sound. But if you get there, you can hear an almost indistinguishable sound. God said it like this in 1 Kings 19. He said to his prophet Elijah, "Go, stand upon the mountain. I will pass by you. And when I do, see if you can tell if it's me." And the Bible says, and I quote, "A great and strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rock, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake split the mountain and shook it so violently, but the Lord was not in the earthquake." Verse 12, "And after the earthquake, a fire, blazing, burning heat, so intense and fierce, not kindled with wood or trees, but out of nothing came the fire, lit up with blue and red flames." And again, the Bible says, "But the Lord was not in the fire." And finally, after all those awesome moments, the elements convening at God's beck and call, like card tricks at a magician's table. After all was settled, the wind stopped blowing, the rocks stopped falling, the fire turned to smoke, and the smoke drifted aimlessly into the noonday sky. And after all of it was over, the Bible says there came a still, small voice. And I love the next line. I mean, it was so. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle. God could have been in all of it. He has indeed made the mountains clap with thunder. He's rippled the earth at Jonathan's faith, snapping the land like a blanket on a newly made bed. He was in an earthquake at the singing of Paul and Silas in a Roman prison cell, a jail, while they praised at midnight. God sat in a fire on the backside of a desert that caught the attention of Moses, who unwittingly wandered over to see why the bush was not consumed. God does not need a door to get you in the room, no more than he needs fuel to sustain a fire. He's awesome. Him all by himself. He don't need a path to lead you out of trouble. He can pick you up and lead you out of trouble. In a moment's notice, God can do it. He's an awesome God. He's an awesome God. He's an awesome God. But he was trying to teach the prophet, and he was trying to teach us something critical about himself and about his nature. All of it passed before Elijah, who might have stood in awe when it happened. Perhaps he had to gain his balance when the wind blew, or maybe he had to dodge the falling rocks split open at the power of the force. He's watching the gaping holes as the earth opens up, or it could be that he's blocking the intense heat with his hands, standing back a little bit. But when God whispered, Elijah knew it. And the voice of the Ancient One spoke, and he wrapped his face in his mantle. And the miracle is that he heard it. The response is that the whisper was greater than all the rest. It was a test of expectation. It was a moment of realization that the power of God is as strong in the whisper as he is in the fire. He's as powerful in the whisper as he is in the earthquake. He's just as much God in silence as he is in the thunder. Only in the silence, however, there's a change that happens in our spirit. And that's why I've come today to preach the word. I'm looking for a change in my spirit. If I can hear him. It was about 50 years ago, around this time, that a man named Alfred Tomatis was called to help an opera singer with some major singing problems. Stage directors, as well as personal physicians, were confounded at the opera singer's dilemma. It seemed that the singer had lost his ability to hit certain notes, all of which were in his range. He could sing high and he could sing low, but there were missing notes that he could not sing within the span of his octaval range. He'd go way up there, and he'd go way down there. But there were notes in the middle that he could not sing. Dr. Tomatis discovered that an average opera singer produces 140 decibels of sound waves at a meter's distance. And he discovered and he diagnosed that the singer had suffered a loss by the sound of his own voice. He was deafened by the sound of his own singing. He called it selective muteness, and it was caused by selective deafness. In his own words, Dr. Alfred Tomatis said, and I quote, "The voice can only reproduce what the ear can hear." The French Academy of Medicine dubbed it to this day the Tomatis effect. And this axiom of truth was founded in that, and I say this, we cannot reproduce what we cannot hear. The bold might be heard, and if so, I'm certain that it can be replicated. Authority with gusto is probably heard, and if so, it can be learned. Shout with the voice of triumph. I love it. It's scriptural. It's needed. We should do it often, and that too can be replicated. But intimacy doesn't work in those decibels. Intimacy is a whisper. That's when we lean in to hear. The whisper causes us to lean forward. It makes us get close as we can be. When I want to tell Tammy something very important, or I want to speak in words of love and my children are around, I whisper something in her ear and she leans forward. And the kids all say, "What did you say?" And I tell them, "It's none of your business." And they, with a collective voice, say, "You guys are gross." I got some things to tell my wife that I can't tell you. I got some things to share with her that is meant just for her. I can't boldly proclaim them. I got to say them in hushed tones and almost silence. The Hebrew word for whisper is demama. And it can be translated as three different ideas of thought: silence, stillness, or calmness, which would indicate a calmness in sound or a sound in stillness. A sound, but silence. Maybe that's where Simon and Garfunkel got their song. The sound of silence. Can you believe they might have been reading the Bible? They were reading about Elijah. I found that same Hebrew word in the psalm as the psalmist wrote about the times when God delivered his people from distress and from trouble. And even though the writer used the metaphors of storms and waves, he's really talking about the enemies of Israel and the calamity that befell them and their imprisonment and their hunger and so many other afflictions. God delivered them. And the Bible said in Psalm 107, he stilled the storm to a whisper, demama. The waves of the sea were hushed. God can make the thunder clap and the waters rise. But with a shout, he can do other, and with a shout, he can do all kinds of things. The Holy Spirit breathed the word and he stilled the storm. But when he did it, he didn't do it with a harsh shout of anger, but he did it in Damama, the whisper. I've seen the remnant of Mary and Martha's house, all of those who went to Israel together. You might remember that we went to that small town of Bethany. The houses were built on a hill, and we looked down to see the long trail that led to the water, a little creek that ran down. The archaeologists have uncovered the foundational stones that remain, which depict the walls and the rooms as they were laid out. The house of Mary and Martha was not very large. In fact, all those houses of Bethany were small. They made of stones. They had a couple of rooms, maybe, all of them modest at best. And it dawned on me as we were standing there at that small square footage of each remaining outline where the people of Bethany lived. It dawned on me that Jesus was sitting in one of those rooms speaking kingdom words to Mary. If he talked loud, everyone could have heard him. Martha surely could have heard him if he'd been talking with a loud voice. But Jesus purposely spoke in hushed tones. He spoke that in order to hear him, Mary had to lean in. She had to sit at his feet. She had to get close. She had to block out every other noise in her life. For her, the rest of the noise, the hustle, the bustle, the duties, the checklist items had to be put aside. Jesus was never going to be in competition, not then or now, with the cares of this life and with his eternal word. Both then and now, he won't shout over your clamor. He won't impose into your much speaking. He'll never knock down the door to gain entrance into your life. He will stand at the door and knock. He will knock, but he comes in by invitation only. Just as his name is a high tower and a refuge in trouble, his voice is the calming agent for the storms in our lives. I've heard it preached in many ways. But when the disciples were toiling that night on the Sea of Galilee just to stay afloat, I do not believe that Jesus woke up and climbed to the bow of that boat and looked over the raging Sea of Galilee and screamed, "Peace, be still." He didn't do that. I don't believe that he yelled so the sound of his voice could be heard over the crashing waves and the roaring sea. His three-word command alone is counterintuitive to that erroneous theory of shouting, "Peace, be still." Instead, he climbed to the bow of the boat and he said, "Peace, be still." And the waters become placid like a glass top. His voice is the emissary of serenity to the chaos of our lives. I'm going out on a limb today. Maybe some of you might be a little offended, but I want to speak to someone in this house. I want to tell you, your life is too busy. Your days are far too full. Your family is flustered with stuff. It's loud in your life. Your schedules are packed with work. It's the work of Martha. The whole church has become subjected. We are serving things and not God. We can barely hear God. And the Martha that was in the vicinity, she couldn't hear God, though she was close. We're in the room, but we're not at his feet. We're near, but we're not leaning in. We're wondering why we have all this disorder and disruption. The things seem to spin out of control so fast. We're pretty good at giving other people advice and hugging them and praying for them, but when it comes to ourselves, there's a chaos in our life. And I confess that sometimes I too feel like that old English poet John Donne, who penned the words. He said, "I neglect God and his angels for the noise of a fly." I'm with you. Little things bother me. The noises of life sometimes grinds at me, all the while God is trying to speak. But his voice is only heard when I draw close to him. I have to lean into him, and I have to hear him. It's intimacy with God. To hear him, ladies and gentlemen, takes effort. We have to shut everything else out just to hear his voice. Oh, I know I'm preaching to you today. I know I'm all over this place today. I know that the Lord is speaking to somebody today, maybe everybody, because there's a cacophony of voices that's troubling your life. There's a lot of racket going on that's troubling your life. Hear me. Nobody has ever won the rat race, so says Vesta Mangan. Nobody has ever won. Nobody has ever succeeded. But we are running. We're trying. We're trying to get a little ahead a little bit. We got all the news channels going on. We got all the surfing going on. We got all the media going on. We got all the radios going on. We got telephones so we can talk to anybody at any time. We got texting going on. We got instant messages going on. We got Instagram going on. There's a lot of racket in our life. We're running from one event to another. We're trying to get together. We're trying to get family together, but it's still chaos. I want to say today, somewhere along the line, if you're going to hear from God, you're going to have to shut everything out. You're going to have to move yourself away a little bit from all the racket and all the trouble and all the things that are bothering you.
I'll just stand here and tell you the truth today. I don't know how you'll receive the truth, but I'll tell you how it is. I'll tell you, when we have racket and noise going on in our life, we become carnal. We become fleshly. We become corrupt. We have a little religion, but we have no spirituality. So I say, church, rise up today. Lean in. Get close to the Lord. He wants to have a relationship with you. I hope you can understand. I'm glad that you come to church. I'm glad that you worship. We got to have our time of praise. There ought to be corporate worship. David said we ought to clap. We ought to shout. We ought to dance. It's in the Bible. We ought to gather ourselves together more than not. In fact, the closer we get to the coming of the Lord, Hebrews chapter 10 says get together all the time. Get together all the time. But we can't really get together. And the reason why is because we have schedules to keep. We have ball games to go to. We got shopping to attend to. We got projects at home. I want to tell you, not one thing that you're doing today is going to matter when the Lord comes back. So hear this preacher today. Block it all out. You got to get close to the... Lean in. Lean in. Lean in.
The quietest room in the world is that anechoic chamber located at Orfield Laboratories in Minneapolis, Minnesota. I won't bother you anymore with technical jargon, but I like it. It may not do anything for you, but it makes me feel good. That room is so quiet, it absorbs a measured 99.99% of sound. It's the quietest room in the whole wide world. The concrete walls are a foot thick, surrounded, and they have fiberglass walls that are 3 feet thick. And then there's a plethora of sound absorbing material added to those walls. It blocks out every other sound so that when you enter, all you hear is the sound of your own heartbeat. You can't hear any noise from the outside. It is exponentially quieter than every other soundproof studio room ever built. The anechoic chamber at Orfield is completely soundproof. They say that when you go in and they close you in, you can hear your own blood pulsating through your veins. Even your breath, the rise and fall of your lungs. A breath in, the exhale. Some have walked out and said that they heard themselves alive. God speaks, but the noise of our existence, all the news and media and talking and business deals and running, and then we try to throw a little church into that mix. His words are the most critical things that you'll ever hear. They're more than just inspirational, ladies and gentlemen. Church can't just be inspirational. The word's got to be better than just good advice. His words, let me tell you what he said about him. John 6, it is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. That's what he thinks about his words. He thinks his words, his voice is spirit and their life. I feel the Lord has opened up something to me, because many believers that love God have started out on the right path. They're suffering from selective muteness. They blocked out the tone to the spirit by their own voice and their own persuasions. They've been speaking their own opinions so long, so often, telling everybody what they think, that they cannot hear certain tones of God like they used to. If you ask them, they'll tell you that they're convinced that they're fine and everything's good in their life. They'll argue with you about how close they are to the Lord. And I still love the Lord. But when you look at the fruit, they cannot reproduce the things that they cannot hear. Oh, I'm preaching right now. I'm telling you, I'm preaching. I don't feel a resistance, but I feel like the Holy Ghost has his hand on a button of your life. He's talking right into the deep resources of your mind. Here is what the Bible says. The word of God is quick and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing sunder of soul and spirit, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of your heart. The word goes right down into the very corners of your mind. Things you do not say, you do not repeat, words that no one else has ever heard out of your mouth. The word does that. Hear me. You got to get close to God. You got to block out all this stuff. You got to hear His words are spirit. They are life. I tell you, God is trying to talk to His people. And Eli, he knew it finally. He finally understood, that high priest finally understood what was happening. Samuel is so young, he's inexperienced. He's simply a worker in the temple. Samuel's commission is to serve and to learn. He has no official role, no title. He cleans, he picks up. He follows Eli around all day in the temple. He does menial tasks. He does things that are not glamorous. Nobody really cares about those things. There are no awards for them that vacuum or pick up trash or clean a window or do a little job or open up a door. And it seems small, but that's exactly what Samuel was doing. But in the night, after he had served for some time, the voice of the Ancient One spoke, and young Samuel hears him. He thinks that Eli has called him, so he rushes to the master's room. "Sir, master, did you call me?" And Eli said, "No, son, go back to sleep." And it happened three times until finally Eli realized what Samuel was hearing. He was hearing the voice of God. Think about it. Eli had been deluded. Yes, he was the high priest, but his world was clouded with family trouble and conflict. He served, but he heard no sound. There was no open vision. I read it to you in the text. There was no vision, no revelation, no word, no light, no voice. Just noise and the murmuring and complaining and clamoring of the house. Eli's sons were wicked. And it leads me to know that sin is a static in your ears all its own. I've said it so many times, but I will tell you, much talking, the incessant need to tell somebody something is a racket that literally drowns out the voice of the Holy Spirit. But that night, a voice called, and Eli finally understood who it was. And so he told young Samuel, "If God talks to you again, if God calls you again, here's what you say. Speak, Lord. I'm listening." Watch it. Samuel's going to anticipate now. He goes back to his bedroom. He lays down, but this time his eyes are not dim. There's no record of that. He didn't fall asleep next time. Instead, he's waiting with anticipation, with bated breath. "Talk to me one more time, God. If you talk to me one more time, Lord, I know what to say this time. I'm going to recognize the whisper when you talk to me one more time. If you'll say it one more time, now I'm going to be listening for you, Lord." We've run past the voice of God and accepted the voice of friends. We believed the voice of doctors and negated the voice of the healer. We've accepted the medications of the psychiatrist and forgot that Jesus is the Prince of all peace. We like to tell our opinions about God, but there's something that you can't say that only God can say. It's intimacy with the Lord. Oh, yes. And when the Lord speaks, sometimes we don't say, "I'm listening, Lord. I don't know how it happens to me or why." I cried in my office this week. The Lord visited me. There was I don't know if you can believe this if you're new, but a cloud came into my office this week. It was a heavy cloud. It wasn't depressing. It was just a great cloud of the Spirit. It enveloped everything in the office. It consumed me inside and out. And I wept before the Lord. I said to Him, "I'm not worthy of Your voice, but I can't imagine preaching without it. I hear so many things. I handle so many things, sometimes ineffectively, sometimes right. I'm thankful that God gives me grace, but I could not live without His voice. I don't want to grace this wooden box, this pulpit, without hearing the voice of God. I want Him to speak. I know that some of you think that I am up here talking the whole time. If you could just step out of yourselves and realize that God still uses people and men to speak spirit, and His words are life. I don't know how He does it. I can't wrap my mind around how the incorruptible can use the corruptible, how the infallible word can be ushered through the fallible lips of clay. But God does it day after day and week after week. And He says, peace be still. Peace is a regular occurrence in my life. And I'm so grateful for it. I want to share it with you. I want you to rise up. I want you to get up. I want you to wake up in the morning. I want you to have a voice with God. I don't want you just to talk about everything else, but I want you to hear the voice. What is it you're trying to tell me, Lord? Speak, Lord, I'm listening. Oh, I love music. I love all kinds of music. I love Alison Krauss. She's awesome, man. She's so good. One of my favorite passed away when she was 31 years old. Her name was Eva Cassidy. There's probably, in the known world, Andrea Bocelli probably has perfect pitch, and Barbara Streisand has perfect pitch. Celine Dion has perfect pitch. That means that when they sing, the studio engineers, they don't have to fix their voices. They can make one pass in a lyric and it's perfect. There's very few people. On the other end of the spectrum, there are people who've been given the scripture to simply make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And the other part of that scripture is in the privacy of your own car. I'm sure it was supposed to be in there. I like Andy Gibb. His falsetto. Sorry. I like Anthony Hamilton. You ain't even know who that guy is. He's out of sight. I used to listen to the Mighty Clouds of Joy, the Reverend James Cleveland, and sometimes the Little River Band. They have nothing in common. My brother used to play Bach and Beethoven. He took classical piano lessons for a long time. When we were young, he would play them. And that's what I was thinking about when we went to the yard sale a couple years ago and people were trying to pawn off their classical CDs for a dollar. I bought them and I listened to them. They were good, but I don't know where they went. They're gone. Poof. Tammy sold them, I'm sure. And her statement is, let the past be in the past. Now, one of the most played pieces of Beethoven is his Symphony No. 5 in C minor. I'm certain that the choir is working on it for tonight's song list. To many, Symphony No. 5 in C minor is the most recognized symphony of all the productions because of its famous four notes. It begins with a four-note motif and then breaks to the eight-note motif. You'll know it. Da-da-da-da! Da 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 da. Now do you remember? See, you are a connoisseur of Beethoven. So refined. You're so refined. So Steve Campbell and Jeff Johnson, when you get down south, tell them you've been cultured by Beethoven's Symphony No. 5 in C minor. It'll blow everybody's mind. Da 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 da,
Da 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 da.
People recognize the sound as familiar, even to those who are really not even musical. But perhaps what you don't know about that is that Beethoven's Symphony No. 5 in C minor doesn't begin with a note. It begins with a rest, an eighth rest. Sound does not open up that piece. The music doesn't usher in the symphony to the forefront. It begins with a rest, a slight pause, silence that sets up the symphony. All of it is brought into order with calm. Hushed. Your Monday might be out of control because you haven't begun with a calm on Sunday. If you have no established Sabbath, surely your week is not going to go very well. Your home might be in turmoil because God has no room to utter his to mama, a whisper. Order is a byproduct, ladies and gentlemen, of stillness. Silence becomes the difference between sight and insight. Yes, the voice of God can be thunderous, emphatic, but the closer you want to be in intimacy, that happens when you wash your mind of intrusions that are in your life. Prayer is critical, everyone. If you've lost your prayer, it could be because you've been talking to too many others and forgot to spend time at the altar. And prayer is not just talking to God. Prayer is a conversation. And every normal conversation has a moment when you don't speak. And I quote Solomon's sermon when he said, a time to rend, a time to sow, a time to keep silence, a time to speak. I got a burden. I got a burden for the church. The Bible says that the devil is the prince of the power of the air. The devil has control for the moment of the airwaves. His messages are going through the airwaves. We are sucked into that. We are drawn into it. And we think that maybe everything's going to be okay. I want to know, when was the last time you heard the voice of God? When was the last time you paused in your day? You read a little scripture and then you just closed your Bible and you closed your eyes and you closed your lips and you said, Lord, speak. I'm listening, Lord. Talk to me. I want to hear what you have to say. Hear me. There are people making decisions every day. They're making terrible decisions. They're trying to use the Bible for it. They're trying to use their neighbor for it. They'll say, well, I talked to all the counselors, and the Bible says to hide yourself in the midst of counselors. That's all good, but you can't use the Bible as a little trick. You can't use the Bible as a solution to get you out of trouble. Let me tell you about the scripture. The scripture wants you first and foremost to find a place with God and listen for him. I know you got good friends. I think there's probably some wise people in this house, but there's no one like God. There's no whisper like God. If you're in trouble, I'll tell you what you need. You don't need counseling. You don't need a sit down. What you do need is the mama. You need, I'm going to speak stillness into your storm. When you're surrounded in your trouble, you need a whisper from the heart of God. You need a word from the Most High God. He is a great Savior. Hear, Pastor, what I'm telling you. You're so bothered by all of the noise. Sunday is our day of rest, ladies and gentlemen. It is your day of rest. It is part of the Ten Commandments. What happened to the Ten Commandments? Well, we don't lie. We don't commit murder. I ain't committing adultery. I ain't coming. What happened to the Sabbath? What happened to our day where we sit with God and worship God? It's a day where the Holy Ghost overshadows us and moves on us. And the Bible says that the Holy Ghost is the Comforter. And the Comforter is the one who gives us rest. I've been around too long and I know all the rebuttals. Well, I don't have to go to church to get that. Oh, yes, you do. Oh, yes, you do. Don't get arrogant to think that you can live this life without a Holy Ghost filled church and a word from God. Don't get arrogant enough to think you don't ever need to go to the altar or the prayer room. I'm just going to stand up and say the best place you'll ever be is right where you're sitting. The most important decision you're ever going to make this week is get into the house of God. In fact, I don't know what you did before you got here, but I want to tell you, you did well by coming in because the Holy Ghost is in this house. He can work things out in a moment. Whisper, lean in, lean in, lean in, lean in. Nico turned 11 on Friday. We asked him what he'd like for his birthday. He rattled off a few items, and we said, absolutely not. There's no way. What do you think you are, like 30? You know, next year I'm sure he's going to ask for more stuff, you know. Maybe, you know, weird stuff. And I'll take a 15-year mortgage with a 4.5% interest on an arm and just a couple 1,500 square feet would be good. He's thinks in different ways. I don't know where he came from. We stood in the kitchen, and it's impossible to get away from him at this point. Nico, now go to the other room. Your mom and I are going to talk about something. I want to know. And then he says, you know I'm going to know. You know I'm going to find out. He's a devil. I'm taking his gifts back. I'm so mad about him. He does. That's right. I said, come here, honey. And we whispered. And she said, let's do this. Let's get in that. And in the process of doing good for him, I got to smell her cologne. And I forgot what we were talking about. I'm not sure if the Lord told me to say this or not, but give me a break, Lord. And I said, let's just talk about it a little longer. See, there's some things you'll never know about God until you get close to God. Let me tell you what the Lord can do. He can whisper the pain of your abuse right out of your heart. He can demama the massive wave that's going to overtake you right out of your day. When you get close to him, you hear kingdom words that are spirit, that are life. I want you, just where you're sitting, just to open up your heart and repeat this. Speak, Lord. I'm listening. I'm listening, Lord. I want to hear you, Lord, now. Do your best to block out every other sound, every other noise, every thought. Jesus, speak, Lord. Talk to me, Lord. I need a calmness in my storm.